Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Diva Days of Lives and Friends. Good evening, this is Carrie. You can follow me on Twitter at Diva of Dual and follow us on our blog, divaofdual.com, and there you can sign for our e-newsletter and also our Google Plus page, Facebook Diva Days, and the fan page Diva Days for Lives. And right here on Blog Talk Radio, you can also follow us and you can also subscribe to our iTunes page. And I did get an email that iTunes, I think this weekend they're not going to be posting new shows for anybody. They're just doing metadata work or something or other. So you listen to us on iTunes, you have to be patient and either listen to us here or just wait till everything gets uploaded on iTunes. So tonight we have Anna here.
Hello.
And with Miss Marianne.
Hello, everyone.
Hi. Yeah, I'm not practicing. It's been a while. I can't remember the last time I did the show.
Oh yeah, it was Anna by herself. But, well, I called him for, maybe 20 minutes. Yeah. About 20 minutes and then it was all up to you.
So, yeah, like I tweeted, I only used the red phone twice and went for the nuclear option, you know. Most of the world
is fine.
Safe, you know.
So, all our friends.
First Diva of Dual in the world.
Yes. You know, dream big, but you know, yeah. Follow at Bob Hapka and Amy Hapka. They're our friends, and Mark Hapka was just tweeting. So he was tweeting Christmas pictures. Yeah, so just see what Mark's doing. So, I just wanted to start a little bit with the Young and Restless stuff this week. And I really don't want to get that into it. I just wanted to say, you know, today's fans this week were very well behaved. Let's put it that way. Can't say that about the other fans of other soaps. I don't know what happened. I don't know why that actor got fired. I just wanted to say, you know, if I understand people are upset that their favorite actor was fired, but mean tweeting innocent actors had nothing to do with his firing is just disgusting. And it blows my mind. I mean, seriously, it's a soap. I mean, you know, we all get attached to our characters and actors, but I mean, seriously, Santa's watching. It's right before Christmas.
There's more
Twitter.
Drama outside the soaps than on the soaps, actually.
Yeah, you know, it's just
more interesting.
You know, and how many times have we said this? You know, if you want your actor back, behave. Be positive. Send out positive campaigns, you know.
Be positive, don't be negative.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Holy cow, people mean-tweeting actors had nothing to do with it, and you know, people are threatening lawsuits, and it's just ridiculous, you know. I mean, I got to the point Friday, like, okay, I'm done. I'm off of Twitter for a while. I just couldn't take it. I mean, you know, I think I've known
I really
my
didn't
timeline.
See anything. I must not, well, I don't follow Young and the Restless and that or that actor or anything, so I didn't really say anything. I mean, I saw like people retweeting things like Jamie and the different ones that I follow. So then I went to that interview or whoever. I read his whole interview, which he's fine with everything or some. That's probably PR on his part. He's probably told what to say. I don't know. But he's very gracious in that whole thing. But I don't know. I don't really know why or what was going on. So I don't know.
Yeah.
There's always some reason somebody gets fired. Politics, I didn't like him, they did something stupid, who knows?
Well, you know, the rumor is he did something really, really stupid.
That's the rumor.
Okay. I mean, yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean, and it's happened to other actors and actresses that have done stupid things, and sometimes it's just the writers don't like them, or, you know, they just, you know, storyline. So it's I don't really know.
So, yeah, and he's not really known for being well behaved and classy. And if you remember, he was mean tweeting during the Emmys because he got mad when Tony Geary won again. Remember he was bitching about that on Twitter?
And doesn't he have a grudge or something against that other actor on there, Eric?
Yeah. I mean, Eric Braden was getting mad.
Yeah, there's some bad blood between them.
Yeah, fans were mean tweeting Eric Braden, accusing him of getting Michael, fired.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And he had nothing to do with it. That's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, you want your actors on Twitter and stuff, and you want to engage them, and then you mean tweet them, and everybody had nothing to do with it. So it's, you know, and a lot of
The drama.
During, and guess who's in the middle of it too? The douchebag from Canada.
I did see something. Yeah, from him. Yeah,
he's the. I mean, seriously, if you want a second, if you want when you want to go to a legitimate source, the soap source, why would you go to him, of all people?
I don't know.
The guy who's like banned
from,
like,
a lot of the soap stars like him, or go to him, talk to him. I don't know why.
It's a circle jerk. It's basically what it is. He gives them good press. They give him rumors.
Right. Yeah.
Basically,
the bottom line.
They kiss his ass, he kisses theirs. That's it.
Right.
Because if you don't kiss his ass and you don't give him gossip, then he writes nasty stuff about you. Everybody knows it. So that's why I have really no respect for anybody who kisses that man's ass. But he did it again. You know what I mean? I mean, he's sitting there, even he's tweeting nasty stuff about Eric Braden. He called him an old relic, and Eric Braden's tweeting nasty stuff to Nelson, and it's just, you know. Basically, it could have been a classy exit, and I don't know how the story leaked on why he got fired, but I don't know who leaked that. But then it all got dirty. You know what I mean? And then when a certain person from Canada is involved, it tends to get dirty because he can't control his emotions and he starts flailing and bashing people. And it just, I just feel bad for all the innocent people who got sucked up into this drama. More, Wes is not even on the show and she got sucked up into it. More or less from General Hospital. I guess Nelson wrote a blind item.
Oh, I did
item.
See something about
Wait,
that.
Wait, what?
Too.
Wait, what?
More or less. I did see something about that.
Yeah.
What about that?
I'm just catching different things.
More or less, I had to deny a blind item, I guess, that Nelson wrote. I don't know what it was because I don't read his stuff, but I guess he said something about some woman from Weiner got fired, but she didn't. Given to an actor's sexual advances, and people start thinking it was Maura West and Eric Braden. So Maura denied it. Eric denied it. They both had a guest star for Digest that denied it. They both denied it on Twitter. And it turns out the fired actor was the one involved in that blind item. Allegedly. Rumor. I don't know. I don't know anything about Weinar. Behind the scenes stuff at all. But yeah, so I mean, these poor people got dragged in the middle of it because of something Nelson wrote. It's like, oh my God. You know, when are people going to learn? You know?
I don't know. It seems like it's every so often there's either some actor, actress, soap, some big controversies, you know. Or Twitter wars. Now you can see why, I guess, that they want these actors not to tweet as much. Like, because you see what happens. And even the day's actors, they're tweeting less and less. A lot of the day's actors don't tweet like they used to. Even the GH you know. You don't see them out there as much. It's a shame, but.
Yeah, you know. I'm certain. When Deidre Hall puts a lot of stuff on Facebook, which is nice.
Yeah, a lot of them are more on Facebook. Some of them are, more so than Twitter, I think.
Yeah. But, It's just a big freaking mess. And just like, you know, it's right before Christmas. I don't want to deal with this crap. Yeah, can we wait till January to have some Twitter drama? You know, let's not deal with this before Christmas, you know. And what's done is done. He's gone. He's fired. His last day, tape day was on Friday.
I'm sure he'll be picked up somewhere else. That's usually what happens. You get off one soap, you get on another. So
I don't know. I mean, you have to like ban him from Twitter if you want to hire him. So I think he's got a lot of problems to deal with first before he goes on the show. Okay, so anyway, that's into that. So, you know, let's go ahead and give us our Kate update, because Kate's been very busy the past week.
Well, let's see. I'm trying to remember. Mostly she ran around town with Sammy and Gabby trying to make sure that Sonny didn't spill the beans about what he overheard in the closet. So basically, there's a lot of I just love seeing Sammy and Kate together. They just crack me up. The way that Lauren and Allie play off each other is great. I just love them. Can't get enough. Wish they were on every day. But they have been on quite a bit, but love to see them every day.
Most of the week, I think.
I'm trying to think. They just it's just kind of like from one thing to the next. They're trying to Kate and Sammy. Cammy are trying to keep Gabby calm and keep her from spilling the beans. And EJ's sniffing around all over town trying to bait people into telling him what's going on. Fortunately, stupid Gabby was, I mean, it's pretty bad when Gabby, you know, stupid Gabby actually outsmarts EJ.
I don't know
how that happened.
Can you believe that?
But
I don't know how.
I know.
Sonny almost fell for EJ, but yet Gabby outsmarted EJ. Really?
That was a lovely.
She should have crumbled like really easy.
So basically, Will's been running around town thinking that his mom and Gabby and Grandma
are
planning a surprise birthday party for him.
He's like Brady, clueless.
What's that?
He's like Brady, clueless.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So he's thinking that, and you know, of course, last week we saw where Sonny had overheard them talking about what happened with Nick. So he's been trying to get to his dad, so he could talk to his dad, the lawyer, Justin. And they managed to get in between them and convince him that, you know, for the good of Ariana, little sweet Ariana, that it would be horrible if you know, half her family was sent off to prison, you know, for this accidental situation, you know, that was self-defense, yada, yada. So you've got that going on, and I'm trying to think. Oh, and then there were some really sweet scenes with Kate and Rafe until Jordan walked in. Basically, Kate went over to Rafe's new, transitional apartment where he's, you know, a.k.a. I'm sure that's where he and Jordan are going to do the deed, you know. In other words, can't do it in the hospital bed like Dr. Dan used to, so I guess they've upped their standards a little bit at Salem University Hospital. So now they've provided a transitional apartment / booty call place for Jafe or whatever they're calling them now. So Kate went over and she brought some cute little outfits for Ariana to have, because she knew Rafe wouldn't be able to go shopping. So she took them over for him to be able to give to Ariana for Christmas. That was so sweet. And then he's like, well, thanks, but I've already, ordered things online and everything. And so then she's like, oh, okay. And she says, well, then, you know, when we were together, I ordered this Christmas gift for you, and I completely forgot about it, and then it came. And she says, so I still wanted to give it to you. And she was just really – it was just so cute. And it was a signed baseball from his, you know, from the Cubs from 1998, which for whatever reason was a special thing for him. And he was just giddy. He was just like, wow, you paid attention? You knew that I would love this? And, you know, I mean, he was just like, he was so sweet. It reminded me for a few minutes about why I loved Rafe so much. And then, you know, Rafe and Kate together. And then And then stupid Jordan walks in the door with a stupid little Christmas tree and ruins. I mean, I don't know. Is it just me or does she suck the air? I'm nothing against the actress, but does the character suck the air out of the room when she walks in or what? I mean, it was deflating.
I thought Kate was going to give Ray some sexual healing before Jordan walked in. That was my
impression. Really hoping she would.
Yeah.
Oh, that would have been awesome. He needs it, believe me. And, I mean, I don't know why Kate didn't do it while he was still in the hospital room. He would have been out a long time ago. So they really had some sweet moments until Jordan walked in on him, and then she's like, oh, I can leave. And he's like, no, it's okay. But it was kind of funny because the way Rafe reacted to the tree, she goes, well, I brought a tree. And he's like, oh, that's cool. Just put it down or whatever. It was like, because he was just so giddy over the baseball. So I thought, you know, I know they're acting like, oh, Jordan and Rafe are supposed to be this new couple and everything, but I don't know. What was your guys' sense? I kind of thought it was so sweet that the writers wrote those scenes in for him and Kate, and it made me think that, well, you know, maybe they're kind of sort of,
just
stringing us along probably. What was that?
Yeah, at least they made you remember because it was there for a while, like we were supposed to forget that, you know.
They wanted to make us think that she was his nursemaid sitting by his side, you know, and that was it, you know. Yeah, exactly. And it really reminded us of how cute they were together and how sweet they were together. And I'm sorry, they have a million more times chemistry just in those sweet little scenes like that than Jordan and Rafe have had for months of being in the same scenes together. I mean, I don't know. What do you guys think? I mean.
Oh, yeah.
You mean they're.
That's my thought.
It's not just me, right?
No. Yeah, well, there's no air left in the room. You know, when Kate leaves and with those two by themselves, it's like, oh, please, wake me up.
I know. And then when Kate left, she's like, something like, happy birthday, bitch. Or happy new year, bitch, or something like that. It was really funny. But I was enjoying those few minutes, and I tweeted something about how, you know, why did Days ruin this couple of, you know, ruin the sweet scenes they were having, and then Jordan walks in the room and ruins it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, if they're that boring in the scenes they're in together now, I can't even envision a love scene where I wouldn't fall asleep during it or fast forward during it. But, you know, it just goes to show you, like with Kate and Rafe, that was something totally unexpected, and they had instant chemistry, and they were fun and funny and cute and sweet. And it took everybody by surprise, but it really worked. And I hate it when this show – I mean, I'm fine with them throwing obstacles in couples' way. I mean, that makes it interesting. But, you know, they've kind of like acted like this new person's supposed to be the new one for Rafe or whatever. And I'm just thinking, really, he's so boring with her. I mean, he was so much more interesting with Kate. I don't know. Kate makes, you know, my opinion, Kate makes everything better. But anyway. That was a letdown. And then I'm trying to think, what else? Is there anything else that I'm leaving out there? I don't know if I saw some of Friday.
Well,
I'm trying to remember now.
Kate was with they were taking Ariana. Picture taken with Santa Claus. And Kate got in the picture, too. Yeah.
Yes. That was awesome.
And did you see who Santa Claus was?
Oh, my gosh.
Did you hear who Santa Claus was?
Thank you for reminding me about that. That was hilarious. At the end of the day, Friday, they were taking a group picture with Santa. It was like Kate and it was the baby, and, you know, Ariana. Santa's holding Ariana.
Will.
Lucas.
We had Lucas.
Yeah, Lucas was there.
And it was funny with Lucas.
Kate's in the scene, and they're all smiling, and they're about to take the picture, and all of a sudden, the Santa says something. What did he say, Merry Christmas or something? And it was a very distinctive voice, and immediately Kate registered that that was the bird watcher guy
that saw them
in the woods. It was just like the look on Kate's face. Oh,
I know,
gosh.
You've been naughty.
that was hilarious.
No, you've been naughty. I can't think that's what they should have said. He didn't say that, but I'm
thinking,
I know what you did.
That was so funny. Oh, thank you for reminding me of that. That was hilarious.
Yeah,
that's, that was Friday.
That was, I think, Friday, because I think I just
got
the end of,
I think that was the end of the day, Friday.
Usually the Friday is usually the best, you know, better show of the week, usually. Not all the time, but, yeah, that was funny.
So, So, you know, it's just, it's been fun watching Kate and Sammy try to run around covering their tracks and trying to keep Gabby from spilling the beans.
I know.
And poor Sonny. Oh, and there were some really funny scenes with Adrian, you know, finally letting go of her hatred of Sammy and being like, you know, I hope I can have the kind of relationship with Will that Sonny has with Sammy. And, you know, I realize now you two are
No, you weren't, Adrian.
And all this and stuff, and I so misjudged Sammy and all this stuff. And here I was worried that you would be pulled into, you know, their problems and their family's issues, and I was so wrong about that. Meanwhile, Sonny's saying, if you only knew, So I got to say the writing has been really good. And then somebody else can talk about the earring, but thank goodness they didn't stretch that out as long as we thought they were going to.
Oh, that was hilarious with Sammy and Sierra and the earring.
Oh, yeah. Oh. You want to talk about that part?
Yeah, well, it's Carrie, did you want to talk about it?
Or somebody.
Go ahead. No, Mary, you go ahead. That's our Sammy scene, and that was just awesome. I watched it a couple times with Sierra and Sammy.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, well, she found out, basically, she's been looking for this ring because she's panicking, you know, and, well, we know Theo found it down by the river and gave it to Sierra. So she's showing Allie. You know, and she tells Allie, promise not to tell anybody. Well, that didn't last very long. You know, Allie found out, you know, Sammy was looking for the ring, and she was showing it. And here Allie says, well, I know. I saw a ring, earring just like that, that Sierra had it. So Sammy goes looking for Sierra, and Hope had to go pick Theo up. So she says, oh, I'll stay with Sierra while you drop Theo off. So she's talking to Sierra, and she is saying about, you know, what she wanted for Christmas and all this, and it, she had, you know, earrings and whatever, and I guess she mentioned the earring, and she knew Sierra got, you know, kind of got all funny and put her hand on the book bag. Well, Sammy right away knew that the earring was in the book bag, and she said, I know, the earring's in the book bag, isn't it? And she says, no, it's not, it's not the same earring. And she says, well, let me see it. And she was grabbing the earring, and it was like Sammy was just like reverted back to an 8-year-old, and then they're fighting, you know. And she's fighting over the ear, and they're tugging back and forth with this book bag, and Hope walks in and confronts Sammy. He's like, what are you doing fighting? And she's more or less called Sierra a liar, you know, and Hope's there. Now choose your words, right? You know, she's trying to be like, you know, talk to Sierra, and Sammy's screaming at Sierra, and Hope's trying to be calm and stuff. But that was funny. And I don't know if you guys add anything more, I guess. And then finally, when she told Hope how much they were, $30,000. And it's more $30,000 earrings. And she said, finally, Hope says to Sierra, give me that book bag and get those earrings, get that earring out of there. So that was funny.
Yeah, it was.
I was thinking today.
So we know now that Hope's going to piece all this together eventually. We know that.
Yeah. Oh, and she had to have her talk with Sierra. You know, Hope had her talk with Sierra that, you know, that wasn't your earring and you shouldn't, you know. You shouldn't have hit it from it, you know. So, but
the thing is, Hope didn't do a thorough search of the backpack. There might be other incriminating things in there. You never know.
Well, and we know Bird Watcher.
Oh, yeah, Sierra does have a habit.
We know Bird Watcher guy Santa Claus saw the backpack because he made that comment at Nick's backpack, because he made that comment that Gabby was holding on to it for dear life. So, you know, all that's going to come back later. But, yeah, I was wondering on Sierra's backpack. Now, did the pictures ever get exposed? did they finally find those? Did Marlena or somebody finally find those of Kristen paying off that guy, right? Did they eventually
yeah.
find
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that how she found? Isn't that how she found out that and she exposed Kristen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. I missed
yeah.
some of that, but yeah, I
yeah.
thought so.
There was a tweet by Jamie on Twitter about never hold out on Cousin Sammy. Don't hold out on Cousin Sammy. That was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sarah, you know, I'm glad they're letting her, you know, be snarky and, you know, fighting with Sammy, and I thought the acting on for Lauren Bowles and Allison Sweeney was really fantastic.
She held her own with Allison Sweeney. She did, for a little girl, she did really well, you know.
Yeah,
And
Sammy really did act like she was 8, like she was on the level.
Sammy does act like she's 8 all the time. That's Sammy. Actually, there was no difference in the way Sammy was acting with Sierra than she does, like, when she's arguing with anybody, like when she wants her way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Same.
Yeah, yeah. I hope we see more of them. So, that was awesome. Are you going to give us more of an EJMA update? This EJMA was...
Yeah, EJMA. Well, yeah, this week is not as hot as the other week, but this same old argument with them, you know. But now, more or less, now EJ has his. He knows something's up, and he's trying. He knows Samantha Jean, as he says, is up. You know, what are you up to now? And because, like Anna said, I love when you said that. How he's sniffing around everybody. He knows something's going on, so he tries to get information out of Gabby, and she's on to him. Then he meets up with Sonny, and Sonny almost drops the beans, but Lucas comes because to pick him up, so he kind of stopped. And it was cute, snarky scenes between EJ and Lucas. I mean, they always have. He said something about Santa. We'll see if you go on your naughty or nice list, and. Always back in the day, we always called him Ejukus, you know.
That's
always,
right.
Remember Ejukus, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, there are a couple. You know, it's kind of like it was always that little bit of tension. They always wondered if there was some kind of tension between those two, you know, that all the time. I think he's called him an idiot. He called Lucas an idiot. He always calls him an idiot. And so he knows something's up. So finally, Sammy has the earring back. Well, then as he comes back, Hope had come to talk to Sammy about, you know, what happened. And, of course, EJ's there, and he overhears them talking and about Sammy had lost the earring, and here it was found down by the river. And that's another thing they found. Now Hope realizes that it wasn't Sierra that found it, that it was Theo, and it was found down by the river, and she couldn't understand what was Sammy doing down by the river with those earrings. And Sammy's saying, well, I don't know. I was never down there. Somebody else must have found them and put it, you know, and lost them there. So your earrings were lost twice. She says, something just doesn't ring true with this story. And, of course, EJ is overhearing all this. So, of course, he goes down by the river with his flashlight, and I thought maybe he might find Nick. I thought he might find the body, you know, floating in the river. He's searching around, and I guess it's part of, well, we discussed this before, what was in the bushes. I guess it's part of Nick's backpack.
Oh, is that what it was? I couldn't tell.
Is that what it was? I still wasn't clear on what that was. I don't know what it say. There's some kind of logo on there?
It says NF on it.
What's it say? NF. Is that what sequence? Okay. So part of the backpack. And so as he comes in, and of course Sammy's telling him, oh, yeah, that's what's been bothering me because I lost the earring. I'm sorry I didn't tell you. And then at the end, and then he brings out and shows her. I think that's how it ended. I think he shows her what he found, and the look on her face, you know, is like, oh boy. So I don't know. He's kind of figuring it out or piecing it together. I don't know. I guess he'll, you know, or if he isn't already with the finding like the initials NF, if he'll connect the dots there, I don't know.
Yeah,
that
I'm sure
that it belongs to
eventually.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's about it, I think, with them this week. It mostly was, it seemed like it was more like EJ trying to find out what's going on in with Sam. And I think he ran into Kate a couple of times trying to figure it out. And so he's been like trying to figure it out from Kate, from Gabby. Oh, and he even was talking to Will, I think, too, about his mother. And they were trying to figure out. And Will kept saying, "Oh no, no, it's about my party." Will still thinks she's getting a party. I don't know. He's going to be disappointed when he doesn't get his birthday party. Because they're not even thinking about a birthday party. Oh, and I like how Sammy said something about after Hope left and everything, because she tried to explain it. Was just, oh my God, this is getting so exhausting. You know, it's a Yeah, she came and looked like she was like half asleep trying to, I guess she was trying to do some work. And that's another thing, he's always yelling at her because I guess she's not holding up her weight at the office, not doing her job. So that's another red flag that's like for EJ, like something's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So that's about, I think that was about it with them this week.
So if you were playing poker with EJ, do you think he could tell if you're bluffing? Because you only got Gabby and Sunny, who, I mean, Gabby's not the sharpest tool in the shed.
Really?
Yeah, he only got both of them to confess. He only got Gabby to confess to murder. He only got Sunny to confess of knowing about a murder within, like, a day. And the thing is, too, it cracks me up. EJ is constantly bashing Sammy that she's not going to work, and I guess Kate, there was a Kate and EJ scene this week that Kate's like, yeah, I heard your, Kate's like, yeah, I heard your sister left kind of Wilhelmina a total mess. And I guess EJ's calling up Sammy's assistant and yelling at her, and Will's like, oh, is it cool calling up assistants and yelling at them? And EJ's like, mm-hmm. And so if Sammy's running around trying to cover her tracks and EJ's running around trying to discover her tracks, who the hell's running this company?
Who works at all? Who works at all on in Salem? Nobody works.
Uh-huh.
No.
Nobody works. Well,
cracked up with Sammy this week said she was a workaholic. So I thought that was funny.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, really? When's the last time you've been to work? So.
Yeah, it is comical in a way. I mean, it's about a murder, but it's still comical, you know, how they're always trying to cover their tracks, and Will's trying to be Sonny's trying to be the serious one and trying to logically tell them, you know, it is still murdered him. Yeah, he's tried to rape Gabby, but you still pushed him in the river after you knew he was alive. So, but they must have said because why they did it, because Gabby said, well, Nick tried to pull Sammy in with him. No, I think that he was trying to grab Sammy so they would pull him out. I don't know, but it's just funny.
I thought Nick was when you listen to the dialogue, it sounds like Nick was grabbing Sammy because he was afraid he was going to be pulled into the undertow. I mean, he's actually like yelling, help, help. And
help, yeah, he was trying to grab for them so they would pull him up. He was looking for help, you know, not just that he was trying to pull them in. Uh-huh.
Crazy, crazy, crazy.
So do you think Sammy's going to confess to EJ?
She does it this week. That's what
she does
for you. Mm-hmm.
Oh, she does. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She might as well, because if anybody's going to help save her butt, I don't know why she didn't go to him in the first place.
Uh-huh.
Look what he did for her before. I don't get that.
Because she's mad because he won't confess that he knew Kristen drugged Eric. So she offers an exchange. She's like, I'll tell you my secret, but you have to confess. And he wouldn't do it. So, he could have known a while ago.
But now he's figuring it out, yeah.
Hmm. Yes. And Sam made a comment that she wished he didn't dispose the body with Kate. So I can't remember exactly
of
how
all people. Yes,
Kate,
about
all people,
of all
Kate.
People. Yeah, something about all people. I have to dispose a dead body with her or something.
That was
yeah.
a funny line.
Yeah. And then EJ had the funny line about the double teaming.
Kate. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who was he telling? He was. I forget who he was telling, but he says about
Gabby,
double team with them before.
Gabby
yeah,
funny.
Double teaming with them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, he told Gabby that Kate and Simon were going to roll over her. And I think he told Ennis told Sonny that, oh, I've been double teamed by those two. And I made a comment on Twitter. So I just rewatched that because President's press conference was on Friday, and I missed like the first 20 minutes of the days. I made a comment on Twitter today. Oh, you know, wish we could have seen that on TV. Sammy, Kate, double teaming EJ.
Glad we couldn't
That's
see
what it
that.
Sounded
huh?
like. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm kind of interested in how this is all going to play out. You know, are they all going to get busted again? Are we going to have to go through another crappy
We're
trial?
Going to all be nobody's, everybody's going to shut up. But somehow Hope's going to come and figure it out. Or Nick's body, if he's dead. Maybe he's not dead. And we didn't discuss mm-hmm. that, but maybe he's not dead. Maybe he is. But if
yeah.
he is, the body sooner or later, he's going to be missed. And when they find him in that location, if they do, you know, that's a Hope's going to remember that about Sammy being there. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I guess that's the best storyline going right now, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Oh, and what's this with, oh, I guess we have to talk about, I don't know, Jennifer and the new guy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Adrian set her up. And, you know, for a couple of minutes, I was on Team Adrian. It's like, good for you. Good for you for not being on the Danifer bus. You know what I mean? And the guy is just amazing. I mean, holy cow. I mean, Jennifer was drooling, and her jaw hit the floor when she saw him. This, his name is Liam Fraser, and he's a pharmaceutical salesperson.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And within a few seconds of meeting, he asked her out for dinner. It's like, holy cow. That was pretty darn quick. And she mm-hmm. says yes. And then later on, he asked if she wanted to change her mind, and Daniel overheard. And Daniel was getting all snarky with her and basically insinuating Liam's an alcoholic because he has an Irish first name. And, you know, really bad joke. And then later on, Abe sings his praises and says Liam's in town. Him and his ex-wife don't have any kids, and it didn't work out for some reason. They just got divorced. So people are starting to think Jordan's his ex-wife. So.
Oh.
I hadn't even thought about that, but.
Yeah.
I don't think so. That didn't even occur to me.
What do you think with Jordan with all these different, like, identities from these different states?
Yeah.
You know, I can't do this
and
to Rafe or whatever.
She made some comment like, well, it's not fair to him. And then she's like, but
it's
what
not
about
fair
me?
To him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
But what about me? Still trying to figure that out. What's
mm-hmm.
up with her?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and then Maggie, her panties got an uproar. When she found out Jennifer was going to go on a date with someone other than her Daniel, oh, my God.
Uh-huh.
Then she got in Jennifer's face and said, oh, do you think you're ready to date? And it's like, Jennifer's been broken up for, like, I think 2 or 3 months. Maggie pushed Daniel on Jennifer the day of Jack's funeral. I remember it was the day of the funeral. She told him to go over to Jennifer's house, you know, after the ceremony in the park. It's like, you know, it's like, oh, Maggie, you'd be a bigger hypocrite. I mean, for Pete's sake. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so she's doing Jennifer moving away, you know, from her son, you know, moving on from her son. But you know, her husband of off and on 20 years and the father of her two children. She thought she should move on from him a couple of minutes after he was in the ground. I mean, it was just, it was just sick. Yeah. And I guess the writers didn't think we remember things like that, but I sure as hell did. Because I just thought it was so disgusting back then that they were trying to reunite Dana for the day of the funeral. So, that was pretty much it. So, you know, a lot of people think Liam's going to end up with Hope. Because Hope got that call from Bo saying he's not going to be home for Christmas. So,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, I could say actually my favorite story, you know, it's getting not getting much airtime is the E.J. Nicole Daniel thing. Oh my gosh!
You mean Eric?
Eric.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh!
Oh yeah.
The angst. This is probably one of the best written.
Romances,
mm-hmm. like I say, at least the last 5 years.
Because you know, Eric and Nicole just want each other, and they just You know, she keeps telling Daniel she's so over him. Well, we know she's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
same with Eric.
Yeah, do.
You know, he's thinking of her too.
Uh-huh.
But Daniel's going along with this thing because he, you know, Eric won't take Nicole's help if he thinks that she has feelings for him, which
mm-hmm.
is like weird. But yeah, so Daniel's going along with this whole, and then in the meantime, maybe Daniel might end up falling for Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that happening.
Mm-hmm.
Falling for Nicole again. I love that dress she had on too. She looked really nice in that. I liked her haircut too.
I love her haircut too. She makes me feel tempted to cut my hair, but thank God I came to my senses. But you know, if I know my hair would not look like that, I would cut it like that. I mean, you could just Grant Fawn is so amazing. I mean, you could just feel his pain when she's like, oh, yeah, Dan and I got back together. And you could just tell he was just devastated and so disappointed. You know, he kind of didn't let on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, the spoiler is for December 30th that Eric figures out he's in love with Nicole.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. He finally figures
it out.
That's
pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love their storyline. I just think it's amazing. But I think Greg Fawn is getting tired of that gray jacket, though, because he was kind of making fun of it on Twitter this week. It seems like he's wearing it all the time. Yeah. Don't you think
they showed him in
Nicole...
the collar again today in the dream, you know?
Oh. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I thought he was going to dream that she was going to come rip that collar off, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But she was with Daniel, and she closed the door on him, but...
You know, and he's torn, but you can tell he still wants to be a priest, but he loves Nicole. So I'm really looking forward to that storyline. Daniel was great this week. He told Nicole that this lie was another disaster waiting to happen. But then he goes along with it anyway. So, you know, Nicole wouldn't have so many disasters if she didn't have so many co-conspirators. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
She always gets men to do what she wants. So either it's Daniel or it's Rafe or it's Brave. She always has some tool help her out.
Yeah, that's lying for her or scheming with her or, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And the biggest tease, I tweeted to you about this. I don't know if you saw it or not. Nicole just told the whopper to Eric, and Daniel walks in, and Eric wants to talk about Daniel and Nicole. Yes.
I don't know how Sean Christian did that with a straight face, really.
Say that again.
Daniel walks in when Nicole says, you know, her and Daniel are back together. So Eric's about ready to ask Daniel about it, and Nicole's just trying to kind of get him to shut up, and Daniel's trying to get Nicole out of the room saying, I need to examine Eric. And
Nicole's okay.
And Nicole doesn't want to leave because she knows Daniel's going to squeal on her and say that she's lying. Uh-huh. And Daniel's like, well, he's going to have to disrobe.
Oh, okay.
As soon as you said that, I thought of Anna.
Looking
at, he's in check Eric's lymph nodes and Dan's lymphoma with Eric.
Don't put the non-skin socks on Eric. It makes it harder to escape.
And then when they cut back to the scene, and Eric's fully dressed in the bed, and Daniel's just checking.
No exam by Daniel. Okay, thank God.
No exam. No disrobing.
No disrobing.
I was okay. I was ready to watch that. I had never problem with that.
Oh yeah, he can disrobe. That's fine.
That's cool.
Daniel touching him. That's all.
Yeah, and then Nicole busts in again, trying to make sure Daniel's not squealing on her.
Right.
And he tries to get her out of the room again. So that was pretty funny. But Daniel decides to lie basically because Eric said he wouldn't accept help from Nicole.
Yeah, that's why he's going along.
She was still in love with him. Yeah. So that's actually my favorite storyline right now. I'm enjoying that one. I think it's probably been the best written. Because especially with the other couples, it's all been about hooking up and moving too quickly. So it's nice to see that couple going extremely slowly because it's been over a year now. So, and I'm really looking forward to it, seeing more of it, especially having a man be interested in Nicole and maybe chasing after her. That'd be a really nice change of pace.
I like her hair. I liked her hair this week.
I love it. She always looks nice. I mean, she wears her hair so many different ways, but yeah, that cut really looks nice.
I don't know, because some days I don't like it. Some days I don't like the style, but it looks really cute this week. I liked it a lot.
What else was out there?
Teresa's annoying as hell. I can't. She's just as bad or worse than she was before. I said, And JJ, poor JJ, he's trying to say, just tell Daniel, but he won't tell Daniel. He tried to have her talking about having pot or something, and he got her on tape or something, but that was kind of dumb.
She tried to blackmail him.
Yeah,
but I didn't catch the part. I didn't catch the part where she outsmarted him again. How did she do that?
I don't know, because it kind of didn't make sense, because she still has something on him, so it still doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, JJ. Yeah, you can get her in trouble, but the thing is, she's going to get you in trouble too.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. I didn't know what.
I don't know. Something about, I guess he thought that if he show her saying that she's, using or whatever she was saying, that she'd have to go back to California or something. But
of course, then
she has
the
video.
He said he was there with her when she was doing G incriminated him. Maybe that was it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
But didn't
he
turn it in?
Like
didn't she turn it in? Didn't he get a call or something from? I thought he got.
Oh, that the call, but that was Bev. They were just teasing with him. He thought, yes.
Oh, I thought
she did that to kind of like scare him, but it really wasn't true. And then he went to tell Daniel. I think he was going to tell Daniel what Teresa was doing, but he ended up not telling him. I always love it when somebody's ready to tell something, then somebody always interrupts. Typical soap. And every time somebody's really, then they get interrupted somehow, or the phone rings, or somebody walks in, or
And Brady caught JJ at the revealing bench and told Jen. So that was funny. And then Jen tells Brady, by the way, Kristen was pregnant. I thought she was pregnant.
Yeah.
I should have told you. But I was like,
why? Why didn't Jen ask, well, Brady, what were you doing on that side of town, on the bad side? because he was there looking for his fix, too, same as JJ was. But he told her he was jogging through there.
Yeah, that's pretty funny, yeah. the billionaire boy jogs through the druggy part of the woods.
Yeah, like she didn't think, like he said, like, well, what were you doing there, Brady?
Yeah. So funny. It's like, oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense that he was there.
Because don't you think, though, I mean, Kristen's been gone for a month now. Don't you think Jennifer would have remembered that Brady didn't know that Kristen thought she was pregnant? She just remembers to tell him now, and then she didn't realize he didn't know. She thought that Hope and Abe had told him. So that was a little awkward.
Yeah.
But, oh, we had Ejabby this week, too.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Do you guys...
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So do you guys think...
I forgot about that.
Do you think Dana's just teasing us? Or do you think they really are going to go there?
I don't know. They just might. They might go there.
I think they're going to go there.
I think they're going to go there. Like I don't know. I love the relationship. I love that, like, Big Brother, though, like, kind of fought Big Brother, you know. He's so sweet with her. There's that sweet EJ really comes out. And I really, really enjoy that. But, yeah, where wasn't it, like, back in the Austin storyline, they had a nice conversation, too. And you could we thought they were going to go there with Abby and EJ. Yeah, maybe. They might. If Sammy just keeps holding out, although, you know, might go elsewhere.
I think this is the longest Sammy's ever held out, ever.
I don't know.
In the
20-some
years she's been having sex,
She has. It's hard for her, though. You know, she almost gives in. You know, he almost gets her to give in, but. Yeah, I don't know. They just might go there. I just thought it was really, they were really cute together.
So,
shake things
Abby
up,
was,
maybe.
Yeah, Abby was in the club, and she was looking at a book of paintings from Raphael, and was actually put on the blog. It says angels that we always see all over the place. There's these two little ones, and they're kind of looking up in the air. They're really cute. And so they were talking about that, and I was trying to figure out why Jack gave this to her, and the angel's charm, and so they were having these deep, sophisticated conversations about art. And he actually learned something, so that was kind of neat. But I don't know. I think, he gets involved when you become a dad, he changes you as a person. And he thought that was the reason Jack gave it to her. So, I don't know if there's really any, if this is just a plot device to get EJ and Abby in the same orbit. I don't think there's really any deep mystery about Jack and angels and all that stuff.
But he's just so nice to her, and he always just keeps running into her, you know. They have these conversations about her dad. I know it has to do with Chad, as you know, because he was trying to get her to either get back with Dad or see, you know, try to talk nice about Chad, but still, I know. The nice connection that they have.
Yeah, it's just, you know, if the angels mean anything, I just assumed it was, you know, maybe that he's watching over her, or maybe he thought she was an angel, or, you know what I mean, I don't think it was really anything that terribly deep. So, okay. Can we see anything else that was going on?
I liked Carolyn's line when she went to go see
Teresa was
avoiding
her.
And she said, and I thought I was the one with Alzheimer's or something. Funny.
Well, yeah, then Maggie wrote the AA meeting to Teresa, which is really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then think Teresa, I think it was this week, Teresa started drinking wine in front of JJ, and he's like, you're an AA, and she's like, wine doesn't count. But there you go. But I thought that was funny. So, you know, I'm going to bring on, I think we have Angela on the line.
Okay, cool. Hey there.
Angela?
Hey,
Angela. Hi, Angela.
Hey, ladies.
Hey,
I was in a conversation. I did not hear the very first 30 minutes or so. I apologize. So if I mention something that's already been beat to death, just tell me. But I thought the week was pretty darn good. I don't know if y'all read the Soap Central 2-Scoop column. I think it came out today, or at least I read it today. And really, they gave all of Days of Our Lives, or they gave EJ, I guess maybe they gave EJ or James Scott the Golden Donut Award. But basically, it was just a praise-a-thon for Days for the whole year, because it was they went back and looked at the whole year and named who they thought was the best villain and who was the best this, that, and the other, and best couple and so forth. And so, and of course, EJ and me was, of course, the best couple. And it was really quite good. I disagreed with one or two things, because I guess I don't read them all the time, and there are two columnists, and one of the columnists evidently, again, I don't read it all the time, so I may have misunderstood this, but it was not an Eileen Davidson fan of Kristen at all. So he refused to give her best villain of anything. He refused to name her as anything.
Yeah. Well, she did the villain very well, I thought.
Oh, I thought she did.
I have
did.
To give her that. She gets the perfect manipulative, bitchy woman. Yeah, that's just, crazy, delusional. She did very well.
I think all of 2013, I think she did quite well. I think when they brought her on in 2012, I don't think they did the best job bringing her in. I kept thinking to myself, because the show was really in the doldrums then, and it had been that, 6-month wind-up saying, oh, so-and-so is coming, which is still kind of a burr in all of our sides as far as the fact that they shoot so far in advance. And when she first came on, it was kind of like, oh, my gosh, is this all it's going to be? But then, by the time January came, they had hit it full throttle, so... but anyway, it was an interesting column, and they brought up a lot of things. One thing I was shocked about, though, is they even mentioned Liam as like best newcomer, and I'm going or as best something, and I'm thinking his first day on the air was the 18th.
Really?
A
newcomer? How can you? We've seen him like 2 days, one day, 2 days. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking. Well,
really?
I'm not sure.
So, I'm not even impressed that much so far. I mean,
no,
I don't know.
I wanted to ask y'all what y'all think, because, I've read for a couple months or however long since they announced, I guess, is it Mark Collier, is that his name, the actor? Since they announced his name, of course, we've read all kinds of things about, everything. It's common thread, and everything I've read is that really he's a suspicious character. He's not all that he seems to be.
Oh.
But, most new characters are.
He just seemed normal. Like there was like nothing that... stood out to me, just dull. I don't know. Maybe belongs with the word. I don't know.
I watched it this week, and, I really didn't have, I guess I didn't have a whole lot of expectations, because I honestly just hadn't been given it any thought at all, really, other than when I read an article here or there. But you know what? The guy reminded me so much of, and I cannot think of his name, the guy that was the co-host on Soap Talk.
Oh,
Treadway.
Hi, Treadway. Yeah, he kind of does remind me of him.
Way.
Yeah.
And so,
I thought he looked familiar. I couldn't place him. That's probably where I was thinking,
I thought he looked so much like him. And then, I had read all kinds of things. I had read that Liam was going to be a doctor. I had read Liam was going to be something else. Then I heard that he was going to possibly be some type of – he's going to be the guy running drugs out of the hospital. And, of course, the combination there –
Oh, he's pharmaceutical, so, yeah.
Why? So, I think once I saw him –
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, because he gets involved with Jennifer, and her son's the big drug dealer and all that. That's interesting.
Yeah, and I think, and I have something else just to throw out because it's just a wild thought this week, because we're talking about Daniel, and of course I am not a Dannefer fan, as we all know, and I don't think there are very few Dannefers out there, but I'm sure there are some, so I don't mean to insult anybody that is a big Dannefer fan. But I do think that the writing has improved for Daniel. In a way, I feel like, you know, whoever's writing the longer story, I don't know if it's Lorraine Broderick, who it is doing kind of a good job in terms of, to me, they're almost trying to give Daniel, and you know how much I love Jack. I've got all these little prefaces because I don't want anybody to get mad at me, because, you know, I love Jack Devereaux. That character, I think, is one of the best characters they've ever had, and I feel like he was just massacred at the end of, you know, the last regime. And so I feel like in some ways it's almost a redemption story that they're doing, trying to redeem the character of Jack. Not necessarily that even Jack is going to come back on the air, but I feel like even through Daniel, like, because it was funny, you know, when Daniel was out, I don't know if he was at the nurse's station or wherever he was, and maybe it was he and Abe were talking, but somebody was in there singing the praises of Liam, that, you know, he, you know, that, you know, does all this philanthropy work, you know, he's just, you know, this amazing person, has done so much for the community, on and on. And, you know, Daniel said, yeah, I get it, he must be Superman. And I thought that was so funny because, you know, people were constantly talking about Daniel being, you know, the healer of all. And, you know, an excellent diagnostician who's, you know, he can cure cancer, he can deliver and fix babies, he can do anything. You know, I was ready for years to think that he was going to start pulling teeth, that he was also a dentist in the spirit. So I found that, I give it to Sean Christian and the writers, because I felt like, yeah, that kind of puts, I feel like they're kind of slowly, you know, not, and very subtly kind of putting Daniel can never be Jack, but they're slowly putting him into more of a Jack role, because here he is, he's going to go on, we don't know what the adventure is going to be, but I think everyone has said, and it's been written a good bit, that he and Nicole are going to go on this adventure to be able to prove, you know, that Eric was drugged and all that kind of stuff. And there's a lot of, and there's supposed to be a lot of humor and craziness that goes on with when they go off on this adventure. Well, to me, that was the best part of Jack and Jennifer. Not that Nicole is going to be Jennifer, but I'm just saying, as far as the Jack character, I think they may be trying to really endear Daniel a little bit more to us than they have been. And the fact
He has a better character now. You can take him a lot better than you could before.
I think his relationship with JJ, I think, you know, is,
and Nicole.
You know, Nicole, I think frankly, Ariane Zucker is such a good actress and has done so much with that role of Nicole that, you know, I just think she's kind of golden. Whoever they put her with is going to make that
whoever
person
she's good. Yeah. She's one of those actresses that whoever she's with, she's good.
And
she's going to be good. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, y'all know I've watched the show since Dinosaurs Roamed. And so I remember her back in the 90s, you know, when she was on. You know, she honestly, truly was not that great of an actress. And even that character, Nicole, was so much like, I'm not making a parallel with Teresa, but, you know, how they write Teresa right now, there is absolutely no redeeming quality to her whatsoever.
Right.
And so, I love Ari. I think, you know, she's great. And I think that it's kind of clever. Like I said, for the last year or so, I really feel like they had a plan. They wrote out a plan of what they were going to do, and they did it. And so I say kudos to them. And like I said, I still can't imagine that I would ever become a big fan and say, oh, I hope Daniel and Jennifer ever get together, because I don't really think they do. But think about it. If this Liam guy turns out to be a bad guy and he is involved in even threatening anything to do with Jennifer's children and Daniel is able to save the day, you know, that's going to, it's going to draw her back to him. And I just don't know. I've been thinking about Daniel and some of the stuff, like I said, this week. But I do think that they're writing it better, and I do think Sean Christian has got to have a thick skin. I really do. I met him one time in 2010 very briefly, so I haven't really ever really even talked to him at any of these events or anything other than just to meet him. But I do think that, you know, we all give him a hard time. You know, we all call him, you know, Dr. Tan and all that. Yeah, and the good thing for those actors is they know it. You know, they laugh about it. He says that when he was in Atlanta, I wasn't here for the Atlanta event, but, you know, he talked to Jamie Gittin. And, you know, he was pretty straightforward saying, I know, you know, and there was a contingent of fans that were there that said, we hate Danifer. And he says, we know you hate Danifer.
So he
like I said, I have to give him credit. I think, you know, and also in one of the interviews with Teo a while back on Carry On Your Show, you know, somebody was asking about him, and, you know, Teo was saying, you know, Sean Christian really is an underestimated actor. He really is a good actor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, one of the things that goes so darn fast, I'm sure they're looking for actors that really can keep with the pace and get it done. But they've just ruined his character so much at the very beginning. He's got a lot to overcome. But I kind of, like I said, I guess I'm seeing even the EJ, of course, you know, I love EJ. But I think as far as EJ and Abby go, I think there'll be some story there. I really can't imagine it not. There's not going to be, but I don't think it's going to be life threatening to EJ and me, and I don't think it's going to be some long arc of some sort. But I think in a way that's another way of really redeeming Jack, because, you know, even out of the things that EJ is saying, and I always have said there was a lot of Jack Devereaux from, you know, Harper, when he was the Senator Harper's son, that's really had some similarity to the EJ character. I always wanted them to write more for EJ and Jack and Justin, you know, when all three of them were on the show. So I feel like in a way there's a redemption of Jack. We, you know, they at least have showed his picture. How many people, I mean, they did this with Teo years ago, but, you know, when they went ahead and they actually went to the extent of talking about Jack's book and printing up copies of the book with his picture on the back cover of the book.
Yeah, at least they're talking about him and, like, showing Jennifer, you know, the best side of Jack. So, yeah, because there for a while they were bashing him, and now they're...
Yeah, so I feel like that's kind of a redemption. Whether Matt Ashford gets to come back because or not, you know, I would always love it, because I would suspend any disbelief whatsoever for him to come back, because I do love him and I love that character. And I think if he were with EJ and Justin and ran the paper and was really, you know, investigating stuff, I think it would be really good. But, you know, Lord only knows, you know, what the reasons are behind the scenes and how they decide what they're going to do. But I do think, if for nothing else, they have given the fans something we wanted. At least they gave this fan something they wanted, and that they've written some redeeming things for Jack, because it really upset me the way they went through so much. You know, early, you know, at the very end of Mardar, the transition of the new regime, they just destroyed him, and it was just so ridiculous, because I remember that storyline, but I didn't remember it in detail, you know. I went back, and I've seen where Mary Beth Evans had been interviewed in several times, where she said when they first brought up the fact that Jack had raped Kayla, she had forgotten about it. She had to go back and read. So, you know, that shows you how significant that storyline really was. I mean, Mary Beth didn't even remember it. So it was not a long – that portion of that history was not as long, I think, as they kind of made it out to be. But anyway, I'm happy about all that. I think that's good. And, you know, I keep wondering, you know – I like Eric, you know, the Eric Cole story I'm real excited about. But I kind of keep thinking it's kind of going too slow. I mean, but y'all were saying you thought it was right, because they were really going to say you have to slow build. So y'all are happy.
Mm-hmm.
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because
it's going to be a big payoff, you know, slowly. Kind of like Bo and Hope, kind of like when that whole, till they finally got together, you know, that was a slow thing. And a lot of times now they just kind of like jump into it too quick. But I think it was kind of moving pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, I love them, and yeah, like I said, I love Greg Vaughn. I even, to be a ham, I went back and read, yeah, I wrote an article on Dave's Talk years ago when Dave's Talk was even an entity, which it's not anymore. But and I wrote an article about Eric and Nicole and Brady and what a good storyline that would be in 2010. I went back that
day. I remember that, I think. I remember reading that. Well, now that you bring up Dave's Talk, they were such a cute couple. Are they not doing their videos anymore?
I really don't know. I had not been in touch with them for a while, actually, before Dave's Talk stopped, because I had stopped really kind of writing for them and that kind of stuff. It really wasn't anything personal. It was just timing and everything.
Uh-huh.
And so I really don't know. I know that I read somewhere, I think, and again, this isn't conclusive, that maybe they moved.
Now
I think I just on Facebook. Somebody still updates their Facebook. Maybe
they were cute. I liked their videos, and it was kind of fun to see the husband. You know, Jamie was the guy.
Right. He called himself JB, I think. Uh huh. And
what
Amy.
Was that?
I think he went by JB.
Oh, that's right.
His name was James, though, but I think one of his nicknames was JB and Amy.
Yeah.
But they were very, very nice to me. Yeah, I went to the June 2010 event, and they're the only people that I knew.
That's
I'd never met
That's
them
right.
before, but it was nice to see them because they were the first. And we went to the Bay kickoff thing. Very first thing. It was so nice to go with somebody that I guess I kind of knew, you know, because that's something I knew him on the internet. I called Amy to figure out where we're going to meet on the phone, and she said, "Gosh," she says, "you have an accent." Because we had written, but I guess my accent doesn't always come across it when I'm writing. But anyway, there were some good times at Dave's Talk, and there's still a lot. I will say this: out of that community of people, there's still probably 8 or 10 of us that still chat on Twitter.
Oh, that's cool.
Back and forth. So it is kind of neat. But anyway, I'm excited for the Eric and Nicole story to really heat up. So I'm probably more anxious maybe. Maybe it's because I've been waiting almost 4 years for it.
Yeah.
I'm more anxious. But I don't feel like the slow build has already come. But I do think Greg Vaughn is doing just a super job, and Now Anna, were you watching General Hospital when Greg was playing Lucky?
Yeah, I mean I wasn't regularly watching, but I do remember seeing some scenes with him as Lucky. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I liked him as Lucky. Of course, he was a drug. He was into drugs, and he had that affair with Maxie, and a lot of other things that were going on. But, I think he did a good job, and I really think he kind of got short shrift.
Yeah,
when they brought back on Jonathan Jackson, who is a fine actor, don't get me wrong, and I like him on Nashville when I watch it. But, it was like they kept saying, it's almost like here's the second coming, Jonathan Jackson, and, finally, and a good actor. Well, Greg Vaughn was a good actor.
Yeah.
Had difficult scenes because, again, when Lucky was addicted to drugs and all these other things, it was a very different character than the one that Jonathan Jackson played. But I'm proud of Greg Vaughn because I think he's getting a lot of love now, which is well deserved. And he is even more handsome. I remember him.
Oh, yeah.
And to be on the show with James Scott and to have that statement is a big deal.
Exactly.
We are, like I said, we're fortunate.
We're very
speaking
lucky.
Speaking of James, have y'all seen, I don't know if y'all been watching the Stafford Project, the web series that Michelle Stafford's doing?
I've been watching some of it.
Texted me some of that.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I saw Ian and Finola just today was funny.
Well, yeah, and
she
Ian
had a Christmas
was on there
party.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Ian was at the party.
Yeah, Ian was at the party, and they were being like real. He's being real egotistical and snobby, and yeah, it was funny. And Crystal Chappelle was there with her. They were all funny on there.
Yeah, I thought so too. I, I've seen a couple of them. I watched the first few, and then for some reason I just kind of – I don't watch too many web series. I haven't seen The Bay at all this time around. I never watched Venice, so there's – you know, there's only so much time for me to watch so much. So that's
one yeah, I haven't watched. I've watched a few of them. I just haven't watched them all. But yeah, but
I had seen the interview where she was talking about James Scott being on it and how that was going to allude into next season. And so, of course, you know, when he shows up at the door, looking so cute with his little fingers, and then he's being so charming to her little girl. You know,
Who are you talking about?
Huh?
James Scott is on the Stafford Project?
Yeah, he's in the finale. It just came out today.
I didn't know that. What is the Stafford Project? Because somebody sent me a text of some stuff with Finola and Ian, but I haven't seen it yet. Mm-hmm. But what is it? Is it like a web series?
It's a web series, and it's supposedly kind of a quasi-fictional account of Michelle Stafford's life. So she plays a soap opera star that's no longer on a soap, and she's trying to restart her career. So, yeah, so there's some pieces to it.
Now, is she still on Y&R? Is she still on Y&R?
Oh, no. She left right after Jill Fallon, Farron Phelps came as executive.
Oh, I didn't realize she was not on the show anymore. Oh.
She quit a while ago. She was the first one out that, you know, had really been on.
I did not know that.
But anyway, the finale is worth watching if for no other reason. If you watch Ian, Finola, not to give short shrift to Nadia and to Christian LeBlanc and everybody, because they were all really good. But, of course, like I said, the whole thing with James was just downright cute. And it was just it was at the very end. And but it makes you wonder, is he going to do it next season? Because that would be kind of cute, and it would be, you know. So anyway, I did see that today, and I thought that was sweet. And the only other thing I had on my notes from what y'all were talking about, I think y'all covered everything else, is just, I guess, the fact. There's so much that I hated about Dena Higley's regime. I mean, nobody was a nastier, snarkier, uglier person about it than I was. But I will say that, you know, when Justin was there with Hope at that little coffee bar, I kept thinking that would be a good couple.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really do. I think that there is some chemistry. Now, again, that stupid story with the puzzle box and all the foolishness that went on, you know, under Dena Higley, you know, aside, because that was a bad story. But, I mean, just the two core characters, and Wally Kirk, is just so underused on Dave.
Mm-hmm.
And, I wrote something this week. I'm trying to think. I made a comment on some board. Maybe it was on Michael Fairman. I can't remember. Anyway, it's something I wrote this week where we were talking about Bradford Anderson leaving, and I love Bradford Anderson as Finella.
Yeah.
And they did such a fantastic kickoff, or send-off for him. And did a beautiful montage with he and Maxie. It was just evil. But Bradford, I just think, is such a good actor. I mean, he originally started out on General Hospital, I think, like on a three-day or a three-week gig. You know, they were trying to get somebody in there kind of like Spicoli from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Yeah, he was not a long-term character. And he was so good that, he ended up being on the show for 7 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Did he want to leave, or are they writing him out for a while and then bringing him back, or...
I guess we don't really know. I think, when Steve Burton left, that was a big thing because, he and Spinelli were, they were kind of like the combo duo, and Spinelli worked for Jason. So it was kind of difficult for Spinelli after Jason left because he really didn't have anyone to work for. He could work with Samantha, but it was just never strong enough.
Yeah.
And then, of course, because Bradford is so musical, Bradford, Scott Reeves, Brandon Barash, and Steve Burton, Am I forgetting anybody? Anyway, make up Port Chuck, you know, and they really, you know, were around for a couple of years, you know, doing concerts and stuff and fan events and was very successful with it. And I don't know how they had wound up that contract, but, I mean, obviously Steve Burton had been kind of in the crux of that contract for Port Chuck. And so they had at least a year after Steve Burton left, I think, for them to kind of wind up appearances, because even after all, you know, Brandon Barash quit, and then last year Bradford Anderson, I think, when they offered him a contract, and he just said he wanted to go recurring because he wanted to try to do some other things, and that's all that was really said. And they really, he was really on the screen almost as much. You know, I don't think I ever, it was not to me ever noticeable that he had gone to recurring. It was like he was still there, you know, like he normally was. And so without, and of course, obviously Scott Reeves left. So, you know, now none of, so it's going to be now that none of the guys are on there or on General Hospital anymore. So I just don't know. You know, I don't know, are they going to all show up somehow in Genoa City, or are they really all going to do different things? I would be so happy for them to bring Brandon Barash on today, because he has really got something, I think. And it just, I miss seeing him on.
Oh, man, I never saw the appeal of him for some reason. I really wasn't into his character. Although, when I first started watching GH regularly, they kind of benched him, and he was like in the jail cell for most of the time. So I didn't really get to see that much of him. So I don't know, but I just really wasn't that into his character. I mean, he was married to Connie at the time. Couldn't stand Connie, so I pretty much didn't.
Oh, yeah,
really
that was near the end of his run. Yeah, those were not his best days. But
yeah,
the beginning of the story.
So, I mean,
with
fairness,
I came in right
the
at the end when he was in jail.
In fairness, yeah. I didn't see the, you know, most of his stuff. I just saw the end, so.
But
it's kind of funny
at the beginning,
because
he married they built the whole family around him within 2 months of him being on the show. So they did a lot then. Anyway, I like him. I miss him, you know, regardless of the character. I hated that Connie story pretty much the whole time.
Yeah, me
so
too.
I can understand not being impressed with that. But,
no, you guys didn't like Connie and Kate.
No,
and
I really
didn't. Story.
I didn't
really?
Like
oh.
I don't know what it was.
I thought she was
great.
I thought she was
because I liked Megan Ward. I liked Megan Ward as Kate before, and again, I wasn't a regular viewer, but just, you know how you just catch a part of an episode here or there? I liked her chemistry with Sonny, just with the little bit that I had seen.
Yeah, I liked Kate.
And so when they got rid of her, when I started watching regularly and I realized, oh, wait a minute, that's a different Connie, I mean a different Kate, it just never set well with me. So I just never really liked
that
character.
Well, I never saw her.
I don't know. I found Connie, Kate, that whole thing to be very annoying and just not really compelling at all. So I don't know
why.
I can't even explain it. It's just, that's just the way I feel. I don't know.
Well, I agree completely. I love Megan Ward a lot. And so I really, you know, anybody that was going to come on and mess up the Kate character, I wasn't happy about. And then someone on the web had written several things and brought this out, and I had not even really thought about it. It may have been Jamie Giddens. I can't remember. But they were saying that, you know, there was really so little physical distinction between when she was Connie and when she was Kate. You know, the look,
right.
The look were even almost the same. You know,
it wasn't like as if Teo had played a role like that, you would have been able to tell the differences,
Tell the difference,
Yeah, so, anyway, it was a good week overall, I think, on all the soaps, and in my time zone, Carrie, at least, gone with the wind, now, General Hospital, got cut off, but Days aired the full episode here, so,
Days aired, but General Hospital didn't. Fridays is going to be on Monday, but Days aired theirs. That was kind of weird. I don't know.
That was just kind of crazy.
Yeah, General Hospital decided to hold it, I guess. I don't know.
Did you talk about who you think Santa is?
Oh, Santa!
Oh,
it's the Englishman.
You know, Santa's the bird watcher.
He's the bird watcher. Yeah.
Yeah. But that was hilarious.
That was funny. Yeah.
He has such a distinctive voice.
Oh, yeah. I caught it right away, yeah. And so did Kate. You know.
What type of character have we ever had who would say, greetings? You know, he always keeps saying greetings. And so I don't know. And I kept thinking, you know, could it possibly be Nick? You know, but then I said, I don't think there's any way that he would have had time to have fought for his life.
No, it was the bird watcher guy.
Yeah.
That's why Kate just about fell out. That was hilarious. That was so funny. Oh, my gosh.
It's real cute. Any of y'all seen The Trouble with Harry, the Hitchcock movie?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in such a long time, and I've read back about it, and I even wrote a tweet to Blake Barris and Dave some time ago, when before this whole story really even got started. We'd heard the rumors of what it was going to be like. It was right after the Day of Days event where they had all those interviews. And I said, I said something about it. Sounds like it's going to be kind of like The Trouble with Harry esque, so to speak. And not to say that this means anything at all, but Blake did send back a tweet that favorited what I said.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
I am anxious to see, because I really think there are some similarities in the stories, even though it's been a long time since I've seen it. But, you know, the end result of it, and I think this kind of gets back into E. Jammy, is the end result of Trouble with Harry was, of course, you know, there was this, everybody thought they murdered Harry, and then they kept looking for him, and his body kept moving. And so then they'd lose him, and then they were starting to worry, was he really dead or not?
Funny.
And that's, you know, the whole story. And then the couple who in the movie was John Forsythe, the guy that played on Dynasty.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And Shirley MacLaine, that was her very first film. And, I can't, because I haven't seen the movie in, I don't even know, 15 years. I just can't remember the details. But I think that, you know, they really weren't even really a couple yet, and they weren't even sure that they even liked each other, kind of a thing. And part of the result of that whole movie and the whole event with the body and showing up and being missing, and they had all these really interesting little characters running around. One that's kind of like the little bird guy, except he was a captain or something like that. In the end, was a way to really pull kind of the love interest couple, the John Forsythe and the Shirley MacLaine couple, together, because they could really begin. They were able to trust each other after that whole foolish.
Oh.
So I'm anxious. I've been looking the other day. If I have to pay for it on Amazon.com for $2 or whatever, I'm going to have to, I think, watch it just to see. It's just been too long
for me. I bet it's on
Netflix. Remember.
Yeah.
But, you know, that is so clever, you know. And
I've never seen that movie, but the way you described it, I can see that they're kind of borrowing some stuff from it. But you know, really very few things are truly original. It's what you do with it and how you make it work for, you know, the particular characters and situations that you're, you know, writing for. So that's really kind of clever that if they borrowed from that somehow, you know. So
I think so, too. I was just thrilled to death that Blake favorited my tweet.
That's cool.
I was happy with
that.
But I don't think Nick is dead, and I hope he's not, because I really...
He's not dead. He's not dead. There's no way he's dead. Nah. That's my guess anyway. I just would have a hard time.
I will be sadly disappointed if he is dead, and I will write today that I will say Anna promised me that Blake was not dead.
Well, it's funny because Galen not too long ago tweeted how much he enjoyed working with Blake Barris, and I guess it could be he could be appearing to Rafe dead as well. But, you know, that kind of gave it away a little bit that he's filming still. So I just really think it's going to be – and that's what makes it fun, even more fun, I think, is, you know, it's a dark story, but it's like a dark comedy. But it's not like – because you're kind of in on it as part of the audience, you know more than the characters know about it. So, like,
mm-hmm.
you're watching these characters twist in the wind – and yet you're really thinking, oh, if they only knew at some point, because they keep saying things like, Nick's gone forever. He's never coming back. You know, the people that don't know he's quote-unquote dead. And, of course, that's supposed to have a double meaning. But we all always know that whenever they speak in, definitive terms or whatever, that usually means just the opposite is going to happen. Yeah. You know, so, mm-hmm. You know, when they say, you're the biggest love of my life, you know that they're going to break up in 2 weeks or whatever. You know, you just know, like, I've never been so happy in my whole life, you know.
Yeah, we're never going to be apart again.
Whenever they say something very declarative like that or very definitive, mm-hmm. that it's the opposite's going to happen, you know. So there's been a lot of that comment, you know, those comments. And, of course, they're doing it intentionally because the girls who know what happened are thinking, yeah, he's really never coming back, but you have no idea why, you know. And so, anyway, so, yeah, it's interesting. But I really am enjoying that story. I'm mm-hmm. just having fun watching Cammy and, you know, watching these characters twist and, you know, fall all over themselves trying to keep the secret and everything. So it would make it a whole lot less fun if Nick were really dead, you know. So I just think, and also somebody commented on Twitter that it was interesting the camera angles that were used when the ladies were, after his body went over the side, mm-hmm. the camera angles that were used, it was almost as if Nick was watching from the other side or the other bank of the river or something.
Huh.
So I thought that was an interesting, and the comment back was, yeah, those camera angles really were very interesting, weren't they? And somebody then said, oh, well, you know, it's almost like Nick's watching from the other side of the river or something like that. So, you know, I think there's something to that. So,
isn't that clever? I hadn't thought about that. The story, you know, the lines that they have been able to come up with between Kate and Sammy, the snarky comments have just been hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
And just the absurdity of the whole thing, and then they have EJ coming in with what you were saying about the double timing. So yeah, it's been very good, and I just think I want Gabby to get her just desserts. I'm still mad over the disaster 14 months ago. You know?
Yeah.
It's it drives me crazy. She's never had to pay the price for anything. So. It'll be interesting to see if that comes out because, obviously, you know, it was such an interesting revelation that Nick knew what she had done because for a long time the only person that knew what she did was Chad. And then all of a sudden Nick knew, and now all of a sudden Sonny knows that she's responsible for all that mess. Really, she's responsible for Jack's death. Anyway, that's all. I don't want to take it. I know y'all, we've been talking forever. I just, like I said, it's just been fun chatting, and I enjoyed listening to you guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, thanks for calling in.
It's so good to have you call in. It's great to hear your voice again.
Yeah. Thanks for calling.
It was fun.
So, absolutely.
Well, thanks for calling.
Okay, y'all take care.
All right.
And have a great Christmas to you, Angela. Bye.
Yeah,
Merry Christmas, Angela.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Okay, it's getting a little late. Do you guys have anything else you want to add? Can we wrap it up?
I think we covered everything. So, good deal. Well,
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yeah.
Thanks, girls.
All right.
Okay.
Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.